This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Today, it's amazing how the Lord is already, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon this place. It's upon you. It's upon me. The song, the worship, the praise that comes, the thankfulness that comes from our hearts to say, Lord, we just want to be in your presence. We just want to worship you and magnify your name, Lord, for you're worthy. You're worthy. You're greater than any mountain. You're greater than any obstacle that I face. And so today I want to talk to you about Psalm 63. We're going to get into Psalm 63. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 63, the Psalm of David. Let me pray. Father, we just come to you, Lord, this morning. I pray, Lord, your anointing. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. I yield to you this morning. Speak, Holy Spirit. Bless us with your presence. Anoint your word. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint my lips. And you speak, Lord. You speak to us. Open our minds. Open our ears. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have for us, God. And let us be obedient. Let us be doers of the word, God. And let us stir us up with your word where we can apply in our lives and hide it in our hearts. Your word, Lord, it's about your word, God. Let us hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you, God. We thank you. We love you. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 63 is a psalm of David. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, this is a story where David, King David, was there was a rebellion that came against him from his son Absalom, and the reason that is they believe that is because at the end of the psalm he talks about the king will rejoice in the Lord. He's talking about himself, but it's something that David had experienced before, where he was running for his life. He was in hiding when Saul was after him and wanted to kill him, wanted to take his life. And so he had been persecuted by men. It was the enemy that's trying to destroy him, destroy the anointing, destroy the appointment, destroy the man of God that was appointed to be king over Israel, over Judah. It's always about the enemy. It's always about spiritual things that are coming against you when you say yes to the Lord. And so David, in the story, it's in 2 Samuel from chapter 12 to chapter 16. If you have time, read it. It's a beautiful story with amazing applications, spiritual applications in our lives. Beautiful stories. I love the Old Testament because it's something that you hear and you listen to these stories. And some of you guys have taken the classes, the hermeneutic and the classes. Me and RC are going to a class where we get into a scripture and you start to put yourself in the scripture. You start to smell, you start to think, you start to, it's like you're in there in the story. And you see things, and it's amazing when you start doing that. And so when I'm reading the scriptures, I see that David is being persecuted, and this man, the counselor says, you need to go, king. You must go to hide in the wilderness. The wilderness represents, it's a desert, the desert of Judah. And the wilderness represents a time where everything, the desert is dried and is desolate. There's nothing. There's no water. There's loneliness. There's sadness. There's gloominess. There's a dark cloud sometimes that people go through. He was going through this thing, this king. At this time, he was around 62 years old. He was an older man. He died at 70. He had been a king for a few years. And a lot of us, you might be going through a wilderness time right now. You might be going through something, a dryness, maybe grieving, or maybe a broken relationship, or even maybe our sin. And so David had made a lot of mistakes in his life. And the prophet Nathan, he said, there's a sword that will come to your house. There's consequences. Next time you think about sinning, think about the consequences. Think about your wife. Think about your kids. Think about the sin that's going to come. The Lord will forgive you, but there's consequences. And this is what happened. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that loved the Lord. David was a man that made a lot of mistakes. But he was quick to repent. He was quick to be corrected and to be reproved and rebuked. To be broken before God. And so this man, he goes into the wilderness and the man said, "You must go, king. You must go." And the Bible said that he was, there were 600 men, the mighty man of valor, the mighty man of God, the mighty man of David that went with him. And so David is fleeing. And the Bible, they believe that he wrote this psalm right here during that time, where he says, "God, you are my God. Jehovah, you are my God." We sing in this song. He said, "My God, you are my God." He's not saying, "Why did you, God?" or "Why am I going through this?" No. This is a psalm where there's no petition. There's no request. He's longing. There's a longing in his heart. There's a yearning. There's an eagerness to say, "I just want to spend time with the Lord. I just want to spend time with you, God." And so the Bible says that he wanted to, he left and he wanted to go by himself into the mountain to meet with the Lord. And he said, "You guys stay. Yeah, go. This is my son. And he's leading a rebellion." But he didn't say that. They were talking about this stuff. But when he came to the Lord, he probably was saying, like in the book, it's in Psalm 24, where he says, who can ascend to your holy hill? And who can stand in your holy place?" He's probably remembering. He's saying, who can worship you, God? And who can minister to you? Who can stand and be a witness to you and for you? He said, "But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who hasn't lifted up an idol or sworn deceitfully, he hasn't lied, he hasn't spoken negative, he hasn't said anything, he's got a tame tongue. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to be negative. I'm not going to backbite." He said, "He will receive blessings from the Lord." If you continue to read, he said, "You will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." He said, "This is a generation of Jacob who seek your face, who seek your face, who seek to know him." He said, "God, you are my God. Early will I seek you." I want to stay here for a little bit. "Early will I seek you." He's in prayer. This is a prayer. This is a pattern for prayer. This is a pattern when you want to seek the Lord. There is a longing in your heart. There is a void in your heart that you want to fill, and nothing can fill that void. All of us are created to worship. All of us are created. The Bible says that in the book of Acts 17, says that we were created by God, the unknown God. We're created to dwell on the earth, to seek the Lord, that we may hope to grow for him and to feel him. For in him we move and live and have our being. It's about seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. It's the word seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord. He said, "Early will I seek you, God, intentionally, with eagerness. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm not going to say anything. There's no petition, God. I just want to come to you and worship you and praise you." He's probably remembering the word of God. Some of the songs that he wrote, Psalm 24, Psalm 27. Let me go there. He says, in verse 4, he says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek." There's the word again. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me high upon a rock. Early will I seek you, seek him, early in life. For the youngsters here, seek him in early in your life. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. Seek his presence. That's what he's doing. This man, he was probably he had experienced rejection his whole life. As a young lad, remember the prophet Samuel went to the house of Jesse, his father, and the Lord said, I want you to go, Samuel, and I want you to anoint this man that's going to be a king. He's the son of Jesse. I want you to anoint him, for he will be my king, an anointed king of Israel. Of my people, he will represent my people. And Samuel goes, and he goes to the house of Jesse, and he's got seven sons. And they come out, and he was trying to pour oil, and said, "No, this is not him." Holy Spirit said, "No, not this one, and not this one." And Jesse lined them up, and not this one. And Holy Spirit said, "There's another one." And the prophet Samuel said, "Is there somebody else?" He said, "Oh yeah, there's my little one. Name is David. He's up there." Tending the sheep. He was nothing. He was the least of the last. That's what the apostle Paul said. I'm the least of the last of the saints. I'm the least. And so they go and get David. He's probably over there training with a slingshot. And he's probably singing a song in his lyre. The little instrument they play. And he's probably singing, "You train," Psalm 144. "You train my hands for battle, my hands for war, my finger for battle." He's probably writing all this stuff. There was a calling in his life. There was an anointing in his life. And the Lord said, "That was the one." They anointed him. Whew. After experiencing rejection through all his life. And so he's seeking the Lord. And this is a mighty man of war. It's a man of war that shed a lot of blood. They saw blood. They killed a lot of people. And the mighty men, they were mighty men. They were not afraid of Absalom. But everybody was, they said, "You got to go." He said, "Yeah, I must go. I must go to the wilderness. I must go to my secret place." This is a man that had, this was a battle. This is a battle of a saint that you go through. It's a battle you go through. It's a war. And the only way to win this battle, it's on your knees. It's in the secret place. And this is the title of the sermon, Drawing Near. Drawing Near to God. We've been singing about this stuff, and it's the Lord. I was here worshiping, and the Lord just dropping things. Everybody, using everybody, all these words, the dwelling place, and we sing in the presence of God. I long for you, Lord. Amen. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, "Early will I seek you, Lord. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." He's saying, my soul, Psalm 103, he's saying, I will tell my soul to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord, to bless his holy name. He's talking about a spiritual, a physical condition where he's thirsty and there's no water and there's no food, but he's using that and he's probably thirsty, but he's saying, this is the spiritual condition of my heart. I'm dried. Maybe I'm going through this wilderness and I have backed off a little bit and I had a life of prayerlessness. But the Lord is calling me to move over here, to move in a time of prayer, to be in his presence, to seek his face. And he's remembering these things and he's probably saying, "Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to praise you. I don't care what's going on. I don't care about the kingdom. I don't care about all the money." This man had a lot of money. He had a palace. He had people. He had women. He had everything. He's like, "I don't care about those things anymore, Lord. I just want to praise you, God. I just want to stand here and I want to praise you and I want to bless you and I want to sing to you." He says, "So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. We because your loving kindness is better than life." We're singing that stuff right here. "I have looked for you in the sanctuary to what? To see your power and your glory." There's power in the blood, right? There's power in the blood. I don't know about you, but when I came to the best experiences in life that I had in the Lord, in the walk, in this walk with the Lord, I saw his power in the church. When we sing together about the blood, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Wonder working power in the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb that forgave me of my sins, that broke those chains, that set me free, that healed my body, that healed my mind. When I was about to go crazy, when I was about to kill myself, when I tried to do all these things, depression, anxiety, all this crazy stuff, addiction, bound. The power of the blood of Jesus is the power of the blood of the Lamb. I've seen his power and his glory in the sanctuary. He says, this is the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? The new covenant. Haven't you seen the power and his glory upon your life? Not just in the church, but where you at. Where you go ministry on the street, where you go to the prison, where you go anywhere, even in the workplace. The man said last week, he said, you're a missionary where your feet are. Right there, the power and the glory of the Lord is upon you. You're a vessel. You're an instrument. Prepare for every good work, a vessel unto honor, to demonstrate the power when you pray with somebody. Can I pray with you, brother? Lay hands on people and tell them, healing in the name of Jesus. That's all you got to say. It's in the name of Jesus. We're singing these things. Do we believe? Believe. He's done that in my life. He's done that in your life. There's change. There's a change. There's a transformation that comes. He said, because his loving kindness is better than life. We're singing about his loving kindness. Psalm 103. It's amazing when you think about that. His loving kindness is like he loved me. Love me. This drug addict, this alcoholic, this dude that was addicted to pornography, that was in gangs and doing all this crazy stuff. Beating my wife and doing kicking the cat and kicking the dog and being ugly to my kids. Fighting on the street. And it was this God that brought me, that drew me to him, and that forgave me. You know what that makes you? You've been there. Some of you have been there. You've seen that. You've seen the his loving kindness is better than life. There's nothing like his love. He forgiving me of my sins. From the east to the west. His loving kindness is amazing. And that's what David said. I have seen the power and the glory. I've seen the presence of God. And I've seen his loving kindness. He sings about that stuff. It's all over the Psalms. Loving kindness, his love. Brother just read chapter 13, Corinthians. Love conquers all. It never fails. It is love. And that's the mission statement of the gospel, to become love. Become love. Come with clean hands and a pure heart and a tame tongue, a pure tongue. James says that. He said, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. You know why he's saying that? When you go to the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is giving an exhortation to the men and the women. And he tells the men, lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands in the sanctuary, wherever you at. Lift up holy hands, praising God without doubt and wrath. Not saying, why did you do that? No, that's what he says. He said, without doubt and wrath, you lift up holy hands. Why is he telling the men that? You know why? Because men are more prideful. They're arrogant. And we have this thing like Pastor said, you know, the little toe here and a little finger there and like sit in the back. But when you totally surrender, see, you know, there ain't no shame in me. He's done so much for me. He's so good to me. He's been so faithful to me. I will lift up holy hands and I will praise you while I live. And I will sing to you, God, a song that you put in my heart, because you sing for me. He sings over you, the Bible says. His songs of deliverance over you. He's singing to us right now. And we're just singing back to him. He don't tell the women that, because the women don't have a problem lifting their hands and dancing and crying. The men do. It's an exhortation. He said, man, don't be ashamed. Lay down your pride. It's through humility, it's through submission that we can come to the Lord and say, you know what? I can't do anything without you, Lord. I have to get on my knees. What he's saying is like, when we surrender, you lift up holy hands. The idea is like when you go to Valero and there's a guy with a gun and he comes behind you. Hands up. Give me your money. I surrender. Here, take it, man. You know, take my truck too. Yeah. You know, that's the idea. It's surrender to the Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. I lift up holy hands because I need you, because you're worthy, because you call me to do that, Lord. It's in your scripture. It's in your word. He said, my soul shall be, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. That's what marrow and fatness signifies. It's like the idea of a banquet, delicacies. You sit at the table. When the Lord says in Psalm 23, he said, I will prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. That's the idea. That I'm going to sit at the table. I'm going to sit right here with Jesus. This is a pattern for prayer. This is a pattern where you do that. You seek the Lord, and it's a place. It's a place. It's a place. It's a door. It's the door of a tent. The tent of meeting in the book of Exodus. When the Lord says, Moses, come out from among them. Come out from among them and go to set up a tent of meeting. A tabernacle, and I will meet you there. You stand at the door, and you come before you come in. My cloud will come. That's the glory of the Lord. That's the presence of God. Come out from among them. It's a place. Things happen at the door. Abraham was at the door when the Lord showed up in the book of Genesis. Sarah was at the door laughing when the Lord showed up and gave her a promise. You're going to have a son. When Jesus was at the door of Peter's house, people were getting healed. They were getting delivered from spirits. It was spirits. It was at the door. It's a place. It's a cleft of a rock. Moses says, there is a place. It's in a cleft of a rock. And I will pass by. There is a place. Prayer is a place. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about a pattern that is here. That a lot of times we have wandered off from these things. But the Lord is saying, come to me. He has called us to come to him. He wants communion. He wants intimacy. Where he says, if I knock at your door, he's there again at the door. And if any man opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. It's a place of, what do you do when you sit at the table? You go out to eat in a little bit. You're going to be talking, laughing, just talking, getting to know people. That's the idea there. Come to know him. I want to know you more. That's why Paul says, that I might know him. That I may know him. I want to know the Lord. He said, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you've been my help. The night watches, there's three night watches. Where he talks up from 6 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6 in the morning. This is a person that can't sleep. He's going through a lot. He's tired. He's weary. He's thirsty. He's going through a lot. He can't sleep. But instead of having negative thoughts, he's remembering the Lord. He's remembering. When you remember, This is awesome when you're going through things, when you're going in the wilderness, you walk in there and you're there, you're by yourself. It's a private war. You're going through that and you feel like everybody left you and you're by yourself, but you have God. You have the Spirit. You can't do this alone. Pastor Rob was talking about that. It is impossible with man. The flesh loves well against the Spirit. But the Spirit of God would tell you, you got to tell your soul. You got to tell your feelings, your emotion. Put them aside and come to me and say, Lord, I remember what you've done for me. I remember how you set me free, God. I remember how you washed me in the precious blood of Jesus. I remember how you forgave me of my sins. I remember how all these things, how you restored my marriage and restored my children and restored everything to me, God. Everything the enemy had taken, everything the locust has eaten. The Lord restored, and he's still restoring. He's changing our mind. He's changing our heart. He's transforming our way of thinking, our perspective.
This is what he's doing. This is what happens when you go into a prayer closet. You start finding direction for your life. You start finding purpose for your life. It requires change. Prayer closet. And a lot of times we walk away from that. I'm okay. I don't need that. The Lord says, is calling you and said, come on. Come out from among them and come up. Come up to me. Like Moses. Like David. He said, come up. Leave everybody there. Come up. I want to talk to you. You say, yes, Lord. I need you, God. I just want to worship you. My lips praise you. My flesh, my soul long for you, God. You are my help. Verse 7, he says, because you have been my help, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. In the shadow of your wings. That's Psalm 91. Remember, he's writing all this stuff. Moses, I think Moses wrote Psalm 91. But there's other scripture where he says, it's in the secret place. It's in the shadow of your wings. It's an eagle with an eaglet. And he's holding him right here. He's holding the eaglet right here. He's not letting go. I'm protecting you. I have you here. I got your back. Don't worry about it. You come to me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In him I will say, I trust in. You are my refuge. You are my trust. You are my shadow. We've been there. We've been there before. Where the Lord answered your prayer. Where you cry out to God. You cried out to God and he came through for you. And then we forget. A lot of us are walking in prayerlessness. It's the spirit. You have to pray to the spirit of God to break that and say, I need you. I desire you. It's a seeking. It's a spirit of seeking the Lord. We say, I want a passion for you, God. Let me get in the word. Let me seek you intentionally. Let me make appointments with you, Lord, where you're driving and you're coming from work and like, man, I can't wait to go to my secret place. I can't wait to go to my room where everything's quiet and I can just get on my knees and on my face and get in the word. There's a desire. A desire is like a magnet. It attracts what you desire. If I desire the wrong thing, guess what's going to happen? If I start desiring, hey, man, it feels hot out here. I'm sweating. I think I'm going to go have a drink. I think I'm going to go do this. It attracts that. But if you have a desire for the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. When it's spiritual things, Lord, I want to seek you, God. I'm tired and I'm sleepy. I'm hurting, but I just want to seek you, Lord. I don't care about none of this. God, I just want to seek you. I want your presence. I want your presence, God. Because there's fullness of joy. And there's pleasure forevermore at your right hand, Lord. That's the cry of the Christian. That's the cry of the follower of Christ. He said, my soul follows close behind you. And your right hand upholds me. He said, I will follow hard after you. I will follow hard. When he said, follow me, he told the disciples, you follow him. You imitate him. You take a walk. You do what he does. You imitate him. That's what the apostles said, imitate me as I imitate him. They were teachers. They were rabbis. He said, follow him. Follow hard after him. No te despegues. Follow close. Follow close behind him. He's got his wings. He surrounds you. And he loves you and he takes care of you. He said, but those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. And they shall fail by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. And everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, can I get the worshipers? When the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard. I will raise up a banner for you. I will take care of you. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of the situation. I give you joy. I will give you peace. I will give you anything, strength that you need, hope, faith, everything that you need, love. Love never fails. And he's probably thinking, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon of the enemy that comes against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Yes. You want to win a battle? We're in a battle. You might go through something at work, your family, your wife, your kids. There's always something. Sickness, finances, relationships, sin. The Lord says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy. Learn from me. Learn from me. Not learn about me. He said, learn from me. For I am meek and lowly. I am meek and I'm gentle. Come to me. If you're going through this thing, the Lord will uphold you, which is right, with his righteous right hand. One of the Psalms says that he's the God of my salvation. I shall not die but live and declare the words of the Lord, for he holds me with his righteous right hand. He has me here. When we sing that song, Pastor Rufus, yo soy la niña de tus ojos. I am the apple of your eye. Your life, you hold me here. I'm in your hands. I got so many things, so many petitions, but you know what? I just want to bless you. Bless your name. I want to bless your name, and I want to be in your presence because I need your presence. I cannot go like Moses. Don't send me there. I will not go there if your presence is not with me. I will not go anywhere. I won't do anything unless you send me, Lord. Unless you go with us. Unless you go with me. When you go in the front, the back, on the side, you're around me. You're in me. You're Emmanuel. You are God with me. You are the Spirit of God that lives in me. And this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I yield to you, Lord. This is a pattern. It's a beautiful psalm. Make it yours. You're going through stuff. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek him. It's all over the scripture the pastor's talking about. Because of his loving kindness. Seek is the same. The seek everywhere. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord that he might not be here one day. Seek him right now. Seek his face. It's a generation of Jacob. A generation that seek his face, that seek him, seek his presence. No one, nothing else. There's an eagerness and a desire to seek the Lord. You call for that. That's the calling. That's our calling. You want to die to the flesh? You want to die to sin? Seek the Lord. Read the scriptures. Get on your face. Pray for your wife. Pray for your kids. Pray for the church. You can pray all day. Intercede for people, your brother, your sister, the doctor where you work, everywhere. Just pray. You call for that. And when you do that, you start. It becomes easier. It's like a kid that's walking. He's crawling, and all of a sudden he starts walking. It becomes easier. It becomes a lifestyle. We pray. We pray to the Lord because he hears your prayer. Sometimes you pray for somebody here and the Lord is putting somebody in your mind because they're sick. And then all of a sudden, a year later, you see that person, man, I got healed. Amen. It was the Lord, man. He hears those prayers. You don't have to say anything. It's like the Lord healed him. The Lord will reveal those things to you. He's an amazing God. He's a loving God. And we must do this here.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.